What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
white noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first White Noise podcast. This is episode one. I am your moderator for the night, Stephen Callis, and just to give you a little bit of background on who we are and what we're going to do, White Noise is the hashtag from Gizmodo.com. It's sort of a sub-page forum sort of thing where everybody gets together and just says random things and meets a lot of people and, you know, just have a good old time. So we decided to create our own podcast in order to share our views and have a good time on the mic while talking to each other in a more personal way. So tonight we have a few guests that we will be rotating throughout the course of this podcast season. Our first guest is good old Bazooka Fox.
Hey, how's it going?
We have Kevlar Menace.
Hello and welcome.
Vito's on here.
Thanks for joining us.
Penguin.
Ahoy.
And lastly, Gonzo Rider.
Hello, everyone.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight. And on such short notice as well, we'll dive right in. The first thing we want to talk about is the Verizon iPhone rumors, because that's been pretty much hitting a lot of the airwaves lately. So I'll leave it up to you guys. As you know, Verizon has, the Wall Street Journal has been reporting that Verizon's going to be having an iPhone in 2011. And these are just unbased rumors so far. There's also been sort of thought that these are controlled leaks by Apple. What do you guys think about a 2011 Verizon iPhone?
Frankly, I wish people would stop talking about it. I'm sick of hearing it. It's going to come eventually. I know it will. But I'm kind of sick of all these rumors and people shitting their pants every time anybody says the word Verizon. So just let it happen. And
yeah, ever since the first iPhone, every time someone comes up to me about a phone, they'll ask, oh, when's the iPhone coming on Verizon?
It's not ever going to happen. Yeah. It'll never, ever happen. Verizon has put so much money into making fun of the iPhone and Apple and AT&T that it would be suicide for them to accept it now. I do know that Apple is working on a CDMA phone, but it's more likely that Sprint would get it than Verizon. And especially since they're so invested in the Android base now that they really don't need the iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I agree. There's they have, like you mentioned, tons of the larger heavy-duty Droid line that pushes a lot of data anyway. And I think one of the things that I know Apple did in their commercial specifically was talking and using data, which once you switch over to the Verizon side, not so much, and that it's kind of dumb that they advertised that so heavily for a while that they're going to have to drop that completely.
And Apple is known to be, you know, like Steve Jobs is a control freak, and when was the last time Apple removed one of its selling points from one of its products to pretty much heed to a supply chain, a third party?
That's what I was thinking too. They Verizon, it seems like to have a lot more control over their phones. Like, you know, when you get a Verizon phone, you're not gonna, you know, you're not getting anything vanilla or stock. You know, Verizon's got their own little seal on it. You know, figuratively in the hardware and the software, and it goes over to Verizon. I think it'll be the same thing, and Apple just won't have any of that.
Well, it's interesting to note that there were a few legal documents back from 2008 when, I don't remember who it was, Motorola or Google or somebody was suing Apple, and there was actually another class action lawsuit against AT&T and Apple for having the iPhone exclusive to AT&T, and they couldn't take it to another carrier or whatnot. And in those documents, it was explicitly said that they were citing a five-year agreement between Apple and AT&T, an exclusivity agreement. So we're not looking until 2012 till something comes out.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, but those kinds of deals always change all the time, and so for all we know, they could have renegotiated those terms or anything like that.
I also wonder if they're going to do almost like a lightweight. I know Apple's not big on doing lightweight things, but if they were to possibly release a lightweight iPhone that wasn't quite as powerful, similar to the way AT&T is stuck with like HTC Aria, it's bare minimum specs for running 2.2, but it's only running 2.1 right now. I wonder if Apple's going to give Verizon a phone that's not going to be as important, but it's still going to sell because it's an iPhone on Verizon.
No, but I absolutely don't see that happening. If Apple were to go on Verizon, it would have to be whole hog. I don't see them splitting up their market like that and basically releasing a gimped iPhone just to please Verizon. Yeah,
granted, it would be completely against everything they've ever done. It'd totally go back on what they show themselves to be, especially Steve Jobs. But it would be interesting to see it happen. And it would also be interesting to see AT&T get a real Android line.
Of course, the one thing that most people don't bring up is, I know it's not quite as obvious, but Verizon isn't the only CDMA carrier in the United States. That there is also the possibility of Sprint. And while I doubt they would necessarily forego Verizon in favor of Sprint, you know, it's still a possibility.
I would shoot myself in the nuts.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either, but I seriously do not see Verizon ever happening, simply because Steve Jobs is a control freak and so is Verizon. I mean, when I had my iPhone, there was no indication whatsoever that it was an AT&T phone, except for when I looked up in the tiny, tiny little bar at the top and it said AT&T. My Droid has Verizon slapped all over it. I mean, yeah. I can't swipe the fucking page without seeing Verizon somewhere. Steve Jobs is never going to let that happen.
If Steve Jobs is a control freak and Verizon's a control freak, that relationship only will lead to S&M and bondage.
And that's a great thing. So in that, with that said, let's go
think
Verizon.
Think of all the great-looking cases Verizon. You would get. Gimp mask cases.
Now if that happened, I would definitely buy a phone just so I could have a gimp case.
Yeah, that's true.
A sampler tube of KY jelly would be part of the accessories.
Yeah. With a giant warning, do not rub this on the phone.
Instruction manual is just safety words.
The phones are going to start coming with those little tethers that go around the wrist again, so when you do insert it, you can pull it out.
That can be a benchmark for reception. Deep inside the colon, and you can still make calls.
I'm waiting for those commercials.
There's an app for that.
Oh. Well, speaking of phones and asses, we also had the jailbreak happen for the last couple of days, right?
Nice segue.
Phones, asses, jailbreak.
It makes sense to me.
I mean, prisons and asses. There we go. So, what happened was pretty much that Geohot released his version of the iPhone OS 4.1 jailbreak ahead of the iPhone dev team, which was going to be releasing Green Poison, and that pissed off a lot of people. Now, I want to call our jailbreaking expert, Zuka Fox, who has had experience with this jailbreaking, to give us his story on how it went.
It was pretty streamlined. I mean, I don't know if you guys have really done the jailbreak process before, but whenever you download a jailbreak, you always got to be skeptical if it's not the dev team, and that means, you know, Geohot or the Chronic dev team or whatever have you. But it's not the one click process. You got to plug it in, hit the button, and then you got to kind of fiddle with the power controls on your phone. And there was actually a good moment where I thought my phone was bricked and I would have to restore it. But you had to reset it a few times, kind of a pain, but I guess it got the job done.
Well, it isn't an officially released. I mean, it's not a fully working release, isn't it? It wasn't like a beta or just, you know, sort of a...
No, I mean, I got Cydia working on here. I got MyY, Winterboard, all the traditional jailbroken apps, and they're working fine. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything beta about it.
Well, technically, I believe on his website he has it listed as beta, and that same day he ended up releasing like three different updates, so he's up to like beta 4 by now. It's technically a beta, but then again, so is Gmail for 5 years, so beta doesn't really mean a lot in the cache.
And if you look at any of the other iPhone development tools, but the iPhone, you know, custom IPSW tools and everything, most of those have the beta listing on them. So I think the, beta was just kind of thrown around as, you know, it's not an official release, you know, solve everything, but it, you know, it gets the job done.
Now, how did Lime Rain compare to some of the past jailbreaks, like either Black Rain or even like the old ones where you had to create a whole custom firmware and load that onto the phone like new?
Well, let's see. I guess that's why I'm the jailbreak king over here or whatever it is. But it's,
well,
it's not as easy.
I've done a lot of jailbreaking the past, too. It's just I haven't been able to do this one because it's Windows only as of time speaking. So,
yeah. I won't say it's as easy as the last jailbreak for 4.0. where you would just go to jailbreakme.com. It's nothing like that, you know, before they had the, I don't know if you guys heard about the whole PDF exploit they ran.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as that, but it's definitely less time consuming and a more streamlined process than just running than doing the custom firmware, which was a pain.
So it's somewhere probably between the old Black Rain and Poonage tool as far as ease of use goes.
Yeah. Wait, did you say Poonage?
I was about
poonage,
to say
Poonage, whatever.
I think it's Ownage.
I like Poonage, actually.
Poonage just sounds dirty. Hopefully I can get it on my Verizon iPhone.
But no, Gio has gotten a lot of hate from the community too, because he pretty much, well, I mean, he pretty much exposed another exploit in the system, and Green Poison, which was by the iPhone 4 dev team. They pretty much had to postpone their release because they don't want to have two exploits out on the market so Apple could patch them both with one update.
Yeah, basically, yeah. For anyone that doesn't know, what was going on was the dev team was had their exploit in the works known as Shatter, and then out of nowhere, they were going to release that on the 10th, today, as we're speaking now. But all of a sudden, like the day before, Geohot came out of nowhere saying, oh, I have an exploit too. I'm going to release it the day after the dev team does that. So everyone got all up in arms like, oh, you're going to be wasting two exploits. Why are you doing this? You just want the fame and the recognition of doing this, you fame whore. But yeah. I will give it to him. Instead of waiting the day after that he originally said he was going to, he released it the day before. And now the dev team has decided they're going to hold off on their Shatter exploit. And yeah. And so when Lime Rain does eventually get patched, hopefully Shatter is still there to fall back on.
Yeah. This isn't the first time Geohot's kind of pissed off the dev community. I mean, that's kind of why he started doing the solo developing, was because he got kicked off the dev team. So it's not the first time he's done something like this. I think it was the 3.0 jailbreak, where he was working with the dev team. You know, he was an avid part of them, and they were holding off on releasing one of their exploits. And he actually just kind of took their code and released it anyway. So he got kicked off and now kind of does the freelance stuff. Or the third-party kind of guy. So,
well, being the shit that he is, he's doing actually a pretty good job for writing it out solo. You know?
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, he did jailbreak the first iPhone, so you got to give him that.
He also jailbroke the PS3.
Yeah. What was it? He jailbroke the iPhone and sold it to Apple for a 350Z, three more iPhones, and like some sum of money. And then like a week later, somebody else jailbroke it.
Well, at least he got his due for it. I mean, I'll give it to him. He's a really smart guy. I possibly couldn't do any of the things he does, but he is kind of a dick about it.
Yeah. But you got to have those guys. He's a Zuckerberg, I guess. I don't know how that ties in this at all, but
they're both dicks.
Yeah,
that's how it ties in. But
well, speaking of dicks, for that.
Yeah, and actually, I was going to say speaking of shits, since Geohot's a shit. Speaking of shit, did you guys see the article about the chicken goop for the chicken nuggets?
Yeah,
I saw that, and all I have to say is, I don't care, it's still delicious.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop eating chicken nuggets, they're too awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while I'll get like a thing of chicken nuggets, and there'll be a feather or something that does not resemble chicken in the least, and I'll have to throw that batch away because I won't be hungry for it anymore, but the next day,
send
if
it
I
to
go
me,
back,
that
I'll
sounds delicious.
Where are you getting chicken nuggets that have a feather in them?
I've gotten it twice, once in Houston, once out in Cali.
But dude, that tells me you are inspecting your chicken nuggets way too much. You just eat them.
Just close your eyes.
When I bite into it and it tickles.
Close your eyes and open your mouth.
When I bite into it and it tickles, that's a no-go.
I would rather have a random feather in my chicken nuggets made out of purple goop rather than get, like, you know, a finger in my chili at Wendy's or, like, you know, a chicken head in my burger at McDonald's.
Yeah, that was a hoax.
All right, guys, all I'm going to say is, where else can you get 50 nuggets for $10?
That's
really, where can you get that? Because over here they're fucking like
McDonald's. $8 you can they do promotions like twice a month where you can just get 50 nuggets for like $10.
Oh yeah,
god damn it, I need to get on
games
that.
And stuff.
Don't fucking tell me that, dude. I'm gonna be fatter.
Once I actually attempted to eat 100 chicken McNuggets, and I
the McNugget challenge. That's what we call it around here.
The McNugget challenge.
I have a feeling McDonald's doesn't officially sponsor that.
I pulled the triple can challenge.
The Olympics. The McOlympics.
You eat 100 McNuggets and you have to go up the climb up through the playpen and then slide down and not get stuck. That's the challenge.
I'd be afraid of the after effects. Oh, the McRib. That is the. I will not eat a McRib.
What had the.
What is
the MRE? The MRE McRib version is better than the McDonald's McRib, and the MRE McRibs are from like 1990.
That's true. They are delicious, especially if you put that cheese-like product on them.
Oh yes, the cheese-like product is the only product in an MRE that the crows will ignore if they find an MRE on the ground. I'm not joking.
And the crows out in California have actually figured out how to swoop down, grab an MRE in their claws, and fly off with it.
Out of a backpack. They will pull it out of it. They will, if they find a bunch of packs on the ground, they will pull the packs open, get the MRE out, and fly off with it. But leave the cheese.
That's impressive.
That's fantastic.
That really is impressive.
I want to see this. Does someone have video footage?
I'm sure there is some somewhere.
Oh, all right.
Not as good as the video footage of the meat deboner. That's probably the best machine ever.
I got a chub watching that. How about you guys?
Dude, sounded like your mom for a second.
That was a bone enabler, not a deboner.
More like a reboner.
This podcast rated M for mature.
We're totally going to hell. We're going straight to iTunes hell for this.
Agrippa is just at his computer right now like, guys, stop!
He's not listening. That's the funny thing.
He's trying to push the red button.
And he is not going to be happy.
Well, it's like I told him the other day. It's like we're Spinal Tap and he's the goofy manager who can't do shit. Like, we just go and complain about why the sandwich bread's too small. And he's like, well, I'll see what I do what I can.
How much more explicit could this podcast be? And the answer is none. None more explicit.
Well, it has been known to induce cases of flammable gonorrhea, so you never know.
And possibly an invasion of ass goblins. Speaking of flammable gonorrhea and ass goblins.
Stephen Callis, the king of segues.
On the topic of these wonderful things we're talking about, let's switch from cell phones to television. Let's discuss a little bit about Google TV, Apple TV, Boxy, and every other fucking thing that's doing the same exact thing, except with different prices and different people. I know Google TV is, you know, being praised as the holy grail for television, but we do also have options of Apple TV, which is pretty much rent everything, never own anything, as well as Hulu and Boxy, and I sort of forget. I lose track of how many of these things are going
Roku.
On.
A Roku?
The
Roku, I thought, was an Android thing. Or am I mistaken?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
It's its own special platform.
So this is going to be the death of cable, though. I mean, cable had its opportunity years ago to do a la carte packages where it goes to the consumer and they say, hey, I really don't want to pay, you know, $100 to get all 90 channels that I'm not going to use and 10 channels that I will use. They should have just said, here, we'll give you $1 per channel or $2 per channel and choose the ones you want to watch. Obviously, for premium channels, it'll be more. But, I mean, for your basic channels, I mean, who the hell watches, you know, channel, you know, 43 PBS or something like that, or
that's my favorite one, man.
Public access, or
I think the biggest thing is that cable companies have already embedded themselves enough with being internet providers that they'll be okay. But when it comes to satellite TV companies, they're going to be the ones that feel it the most because the satellite internet is crap. No matter if it's all you have, it's better than dial-up. But it's when it comes to coming in through the cable provider, they're going to lose that business on one end, but they're going to end up jacking up the prices anyway just to provide that extra service.
Yeah, well, one thing about it is you can't blame it on the cable companies. A lot of it has to do with the providers of the contents.
Oh, true. Like Discovery Channel, Discovery Channel refuses to release anything of theirs except on their website and the popular shows. And all of the Discovery, like science, history, all of them, they do this. All the very popular shows like Mythbusters, whatever have you, they don't release the full episodes. But the less popular shows, they'll release the full episodes on their website. I think if they got around to producing them, having the whole thing available, then we'd be able to move forward. But it's getting the providers to actually play ball with this.
Go ahead.
I'm still pissed off that I can't watch Big Bang Theory online.
Because that drives me up the wall.
I'm one of those weird people that stopped paying for cable like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't have
everything.
You're one of those weird people that actually enjoys that show?
What the?
That's a great show.
I'm gonna find you, unscrew your head, and do bad things
and
to
shit
it.
Shit down your neck.
With your Verizon iPhone. Yes.
With my Verizon.
Just put your Verizon iPhone down here.
Oops, I forgot. Beep. There we go.
Yeah, the only show that I really enjoy that isn't online is Big Bang Theory, and I hate that.
I wish Mythbusters was online.
Me too.
Yeah, I usually end up watching Mythbusters.
Yeah.
But I watch it on Netflix.
Has anyone here ever tried any of like the little boxy boxes or anything like that?
Mom has a Roku, and I played with it a little bit, and it was pretty cool. She streamed a lot of her Netflix stuff on there.
Okay.
But it seemed all right. I didn't get a chance to really dig into it or anything, but just from casual use, it seemed neat.
I believe Xbox has a full-on Netflix integration. How is it different than that? I use my Xbox for playing DVDs. I don't have a Blu-ray player because I'm cheap. But if I get Netflix, I'm just going to use that for them.
Yeah, why can't
something like the Xbox become the new Google TV, whatever have you? Because they already have so much integration with Netflix and are they being
media
a DVD
center?
Player?
Well, what's going on though is that Xbox is partnering up with AT&T UVerse.
I heard something
about that they're going to be coming together. I'll look at the details right now. I'm not quite sure. Does anybody else know exactly what's going on?
No.
No. I'll take a look real fast.
Way to blindside us.
I mean, UVerse is neat, but I don't know how they're going to integrate it with Xbox.
I don't like UVerse. UVerse sucks. I mean, the issue with UVerse is, let's say you have three TVs in your house, okay, and you want to do high definition on all three. They're all plasma TVs, right? And you want to watch HD something porn in your room while your girlfriend wants to watch, HD Dancing with the Stars downstairs in the living room. That can't happen. Not on UVerse. For some reason...
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
HD porn with the stars.
Yes. For some reason, you can only have one HD channel playing in HD per household.
That's because it's basically DSL, isn't it?
It's fiber optic. I have UVerse, and actually, I'll run into problems sometimes. We have, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 TVs in my house, and only one of them is actually an HD TV. But I've ran into problems where I'll try to be watching something in my room, and some other people are watching around the house, and I'll get an error message pop up on my screen that says, "You have too many receivers on," or something like that. And if you want to continue watching, you got to turn off one of them. And so that's kind of BS.
Really?
At no point should I get a warning telling me that I have too many receivers. That's ridiculous.
I agree. I mean, I'm from a cable household. where you can have one line going in and basically infinite splitters.
The nice thing, though, I will give to Uverse, which it's probably not specific to Uverse. I think, you know, other carriers or other providers do the same thing, is that while I don't have a DVR, this receiver in my room is not a DVR, I can record something on one of the receivers that is and then watch it in here. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's what I get with Fios also. But one reason I don't really care much for Fios is because of their internet speeds. Can't say I really use the cable too much.
Well, one thing's for sure, though, I would love to get an HD feed of just Cigar Guy. which, leading on, here's a new segue for you. How was that for a segue? Quite entertaining, wasn't it?
Well, you have to finish the segue to have us judge the segue.
How about I don't finish the segue and you talk about Cigar Guy? Because that's a new topic. No,
Jesus.
I'm going to be Cigar Guy for Halloween, I've decided. Who actually was revealed the other day. It's a 30-year-old London investment analyst, Rupesh Shingadia.
I hope you know you can't butcher the hell out of that.
You probably just offended a whole lot of people.
You know what? I prefer Cigar Guy.
All three people who are listening.
Yeah, we're just going to call him Cigar Guy. His real name's too hard.
The second I saw that in the picture, I was like, Happy Gilmore. That's the only thing I could think of. Some goofy guy standing in the background smiling like an idiot. a pedophile mustache.
He has an awesome mustache, and I don't know what kind of headgear he's wearing.
Well, it's a wig. It's a red squirrely wig, because he was paying tribute to Spanish golfer Miguel Angel Jimenez, who pretty much is known to have like a squirrely hairdo like that and smoke a cigar while golfing.
At first, I thought it was a turban.
Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people did, but no, it was not. There was a rap video created about him, too.
Of course there was.
Awesome.
Yeah, the Cigar Guy rap.
The internet works fast.
Cigar Guy is probably my favorite new meme to come out recently.
I think it's better than the Leo thing, the whole
Inception.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, the happy Leo, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Leo Strut.
Or
I think it's better than the Bed Intruder.
Yeah, and Michael Cera's prancing. I think it's better than both of those because he just stands everywhere. You can put him on any face in any picture, and you don't see it for like 10 seconds. You're like, oh, man, there it is.
But I'm a fan of sad Keanu, though.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
Keanu.
Yeah.
I think sad Keanu's dying. I mean, how much more sadder can he be? Can he get? How many more situations?
Did you see that one post? I think it was on White Noise. Someone posted a picture of, it was Where's Waldo? And, like, you know, you blow it up, you know, you see everything, and you point out Waldo, and you're like, you know, you're like, oh, I see it. And some guy responded, are you sure? And he reposted the picture, but he was circling sad Keanu in the middle, just in some random spot.
You know, sad Keanu and Cigar Guy should have a duel or a fight. That would be awesome to have a set of memes.
They do. One would just stand there, the other one would just sit there.
If only Celebrity Deathmatch is still around and they could do, like, Meme Deathmatch.
That would be awesome.
How awesome would that be?
Wow, you know what? We got to take this out of the podcast because that's, like, a multi-million dollar idea right there.
Yeah, oh,
disregard the silence, everyone, you just heard when we edited it out.
We're going straight to MTV with this. MTV doesn't play music anymore anyway.
No, they do in the morning, like, late night. When I'm at work,
they play some 90s music still?
No. It's new crap. But
it is some of the weirdest shit you will ever see on television.
I think the newest reality show is probably going to be people taking shits.
Yeah, it's called The Jersey Shore, dude.
No, that's the shits being people.
Wonderful.
That was
witty.
The bad joke.
Jersey jokes.
We will add an applause track and a laughter track in this, so don't worry.
That way I can feel better about myself.
And then we'll tell everybody it was recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I'm just going to make sure that I don't tell any of my friends around here to listen to this.
are you in the outfit of America?
Dude, I live in New Jersey.
He lives in the outfit of America.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
In the words of Hank Hill,
We have to raise a donation fund so you can move.
We'll say it's veto move. We'll say it's for ping reasons.
His latency was too high. We couldn't have him on the podcast anymore.
All right, well, I think right now is a good time for a little bit of a break for everybody, except for Benguin. Benguin, you have a review to give us, don't you?
I do, indeed. I would like to review...
I thought he was going to stay after class.
All right, so everybody could fast forward about 10 minutes.
Yeah, this is not very interesting. I would like to review the V-Moda's newest pair of earbuds, their Remix series. I have here the V-Moda Remix Remote. It's basically an update to their Vibe Duos, which a lot of people know. Those came out about maybe a year or two, about 2 years ago. They're really popular for the iPhone line. And they're nice headphones. They've got a really good quality, yada, yada. The only problem was with I've had a couple pairs of Vibe Duos over the past 2 years, and they all kind of would just stop working after a while. The left earbud would go out. The Remix series, though, seems to be a lot more durable. Sound-wise, it's very clear, and you got really nice bass. If you like bass in your music, that's awesome. Great noise cancellation. You pop them in, sounds like you're underwater. Can't hear too much around you. Not everything's so great with these, though. The Vibe Duos used to have a really nice fabric cord. These ones are just plastic. I don't know why they changed that. And also, the microphone used to be on the right ear wire, and so it would be a lot closer to your face. Now it's down at the Y split, so it's kind of further away. Overall, though, it's good headphones. They got, you know, the controls and everything, so I like them. About $100, but what'd you say?
Are these headphones for like a cell phone, like an iPhone, for the controls, or are they headphones for your PC?
They will work on your Mac. Maybe some PCs. They will work on newer Macs. Doesn't work on mine because I have an older one. But like all the unibody ones, they should. But they will. They should work on that, and they do work on most cell phones. Supposedly, they work just fine on my iPhone 4. Sound quality is really good for voice and everything.
And, all right.
Yeah, volume up, volume down, play, pause, all that.
You said they were about $100?
Yeah, about $100. I think if you search around eBay, you can find a little bit lower price, eBay and Amazon. But
they might not be the real thing, but you can find them somewhere.
Yeah, you know, in an alley somewhere.
All right. Thank you, Benguin, for taking the time to review those earphones.
Yeah. And thank you, everyone, for fast-forwarding through my horrible review.
I enjoyed it.
That doesn't mean everybody else is off the hook. I'm putting you guys all on the spot right now. All of you.
Sure. You already put me on the spot.
Including Agrippa, who's not even on here, but he's listening. he's our boss, by the way. So we get to poke fun at him and risk getting fired off the podcast.
Agrippa, the bread's too small.
I can't fold the ham over anymore. It don't work.
Oh, and by the way, I'd like to say these earphones, they go to 11, so, you know.
They go to 11, nice. All right, I wanted to ask you guys, when did you guys come out of the closet with your geekdom or nerddom?
Ooh.
When did the world find out about your terrible, terrible secret?
When I was 5 years old, walking around with glasses so big they filled my face, and I spent more time playing video games and reading comic books than I did socializing with real people. I think it was pretty fucking obvious.
When I first opened a computer up, I was just like, God damn it. I know what to do now.
Oh yeah. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I was one of the kids who just, I wanted to take apart every home appliance that I possibly could get my hands on.
Yeah.
That I wasn't attached to the wall or was too big for me to pick up. Like, I would take apart radios and TVs. My mom would be like, what the hell are you doing? You're going to not be able to put them back together. And I'm like, I don't care. I want to figure out how it works.
You would pick anything up, and if you see one spot where you could put a screwdriver,
it was done. There.
It was gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got in a lot of trouble because there were things I would take apart and I couldn't get it to fit back in the box. Or like I would take apart the radio and I couldn't fit the speakers back in just the way they were. And she got really mad.
That's why I was so mad when I got a unibody MacBook because there was no screws. What am I supposed to do if I'm bored now?
Exactly.
My uncle gave me his old desktop PC back in like 97. It was a hand-me-down. He'd had it for years. And he gave it to me when I moved and I got my own room. and I started messing around with, I think it was Windows 95 that was still, rocking on that thing. And I started fiddling with that. I started just seeing what I could do. I had friends that were heavy into messing with computers. So, they'd print me out lists or put things on floppies like text files and show me how to, change this. So it didn't say start. It said any other five-letter word or whatever. It's stuff like that has got me into it. I'm still a big fan of electronics, not so much software side anymore, but that's what got me into it.
Yeah, I've moved on from hardware, actually. I don't really like fucking with hardware anymore. I'll do it, but I prefer software stuff.
I gotta say I'm more of a hardware guy. That's why I'm going into computer engineering, but, taking apart computers and figuring out what's wrong and putting them back together, hands-on kind of stuff. It's where it's at.
Yeah, I did 5 years in the Marine Corps as a hardware tech for pretty much any electronics minus radios. So I don't know RF as well as the other stuff, but I can still troubleshoot through a diagram if I need to. And that's that sort of thing is actually what interests me a lot.
Yeah, see, I could do it. I just it's not my cup of tea. It's not my favorite thing to do.
Well, they're talking fancy talk, you and your tea.
Oh, my cup of tea.
I love tea. Don't be hating on tea, man.
It's not a tea.
I'm drinking
like
Arnold can Palmer of PBR right now.
Well, if the liquor store were open today, I'd be drinking PBR, but it's not, so I had to finish my last My Miller High Life.
It's the champagne of beers.
And I get to support the troops with 10 cents off every bottle cap that I can donate.
Nice.
I'm all for supporting the troops, but do you have to do it with that?
It's just a beer, man. Don't be hating on me. I'm poor. I drink cheap booze. I'm a cheap drunk.
And a cheap date.
And a cheap date, no doubt.
Smirnoff Ice and a roofie.
Had enough of Smirnoff Ice.
What cocktail of champions?
No more bros icing bros. That's it. It's over.
I actually think that website's down. It doesn't exist anymore.
I hope so.
The game still goes on, though. The people that are still stuck to, last year.
Those are people who don't know what the internet is. They haven't discovered Cigar Guy yet.
Those are people who still forward chain emails, like my mom.
Microsoft's going to give you 10 cents for every email that gets forwarded. You can be rich.
I got an email the other day about Yahoo Messenger. Yahoo Messenger hasn't been popular since, 1999.
And I still use Yahoo Messenger.
Yeah, my wife still uses it.
Get off this get off.
Way to live in the past.
But, the email was about, forward this to all your friends to sign the petition. Yahoo Messenger, they're going to have to pay for it in order to use it. And we can't let this happen, and so on and so forth. I'm like, wow, really? Is that Yahoo Messenger?
Do you guys see those... those things on Facebook, they're kind of the same thing, like a million people strong for returning the old layout or a million strong for them not charging for Facebook.
And they all only have 1,000 members.
Yeah.
It's because they can't unify their effort.
Well, because if they actually knew how to use Facebook and all join one group, they wouldn't believe those stupid-ass things in the first place.
There's 10,000 of them. There's 10,000 groups all with 1,000 members each. Damn it.
Damn it. I don't know. I really hate those people who come on and bitch about, the new Facebook's changed. I don't like it. I'm like, these people are web developers. That's their job is to build new shit. If you don't like it, don't use their service.
It's a free service also.
There's also the thing of changing it too many times in too short of a time frame, which could piss a lot of people off. Because I think they changed it up, less than a year ago? They changed the layout? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think
that
so.
Sounds about right.
I still haven't got the new Facebook layout, so I don't think is it officially out yet, or are they just slowly rolling out the new Twitter?
I think they're slowly rolling it.
I barely got the new Twitter a few days ago, so I don't expect to have the new Facebook anytime soon.
I'm sorry, Gonzo. You're just not cool enough for the new Facebook.
I guess not. I mean, shut I have up, the hipster. New Twitter, but, you know, I don't go to Twitter.com, so I really don't use the new Twitter. So, you know, big fucking deal.
I still think it's going to be interesting what this whole new way of friending people is going to be. Like, everybody's in a group now instead of a friend list. And there's been reports of, like, if you add somebody that's your friend to a group, they're automatically added to the group for everybody. So if I want to add Bazooka Fox to the group of, like, you know, Dirty Rotten Hipsters, he's going to show up as Dirty Rotten Hipster to all of his other friends. I know they've done it with...
Please do that, please.
They've done it with Zuckerberg.
They added Zuckerberg and I think Jason Calcanis to NAMBLA.
Which is National...
Man Boy Lover Association.
Marlon Brando lookalikes, obviously.
Yes. Pretty sure they're probably going to fix that before they roll that out to everybody else.
I hope not, because that's too much fun.
Oh, God. Can you imagine adding your friend's mother to the group of your mother's a whore?
And that's why you shouldn't friend your mother on Facebook.
Have you seen the damn my mom has Facebook filter?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you need to go watch that video right now because it's hilarious.
That's Saturday Night Live skit, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the one that Docker TV posted.
I could really use some new dungarees.
Oh, I've got a coupon. Let me send it to you.
I think the image editor was the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because from a bong to a puppet. Describing the picture is nowhere near as funny as actually seeing it.
Yes, everybody needs to stop what you're doing and go find this on the YouTubes.
We'll wait
for you.
We'll wait.
I don't mean these you people talking to me. I mean the ones listening.
We're adding a laugh track to make it funnier.
What is this?
Did you
YouTube
forget that we're actually
about?
Watching or recording this for people to listen to, and we're not just sitting around bullshitting? You forgot?
Yeah, really? Gotcha.
Dicking around.
Well, that's happening too.
And
you know what I hate?
While
you
are all at YouTube, you must find the Sesame Street parody of the Old Spice commercial. It's
oh, that's awesome.
No, you should check out everything that Sesame Street has done, or the Muppets has done on YouTube.
Too.
The Muppets and the Sesame Street stuff is not the kids' stuff.
No, it's really good.
Yeah.
Wait, the Muppets doing Bohemian Rhapsody, have you seen that?
Yeah, actually, every Muppets one ends with the two old guys. Just, it's worth, even if the video itself sucks, it's worth waiting till the end to see what they say about it.
They have names.
They're the best.
Statler and Waldorf.
There you go.
Haters gonna hate.
Love is gonna love.
Haters.
I don't even want none of the above. Want to piss
on
you.
And that segue leads us to our karaoke contest.
I'll win, damn it. I was on American Idol, motherfuckers.
You're the guy that Simon booed off.
After.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just saying on a podcast. Don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Wait, were you the British Eminem? Was that you?
It was.
What?
It was.
You have to go see. All right. While you're all cavorting around YouTube, go watch the British Eminem because that's almost as good as Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right, we got to stop suggesting videos because people are going to start watching YouTube videos and forget they're listening to our podcast.
Why should I listen to these fuckers? I got YouTube.
YouTube is way.
Whoa. Crossing the line.
That'll be edited.
What are you going to change it to?
I'll find nice guys. I'll find something. I'll find like a Pee Wee Herman sound clip or something like that.
Old timey public domain music.
All right. Anyway,
we got to find that soundboard.
Oh, God. We'd have way too much time with that on here.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. When it comes to, like, cloud storage, I know I've got a Dropbox. I'm up to 3 gigs on it now. Is that enough for you? Or do you pay for more, or do you have multiple accounts? How do you manage your cloud storage?
I don't have cloud storage.
I don't use a lot of cloud storage. I have a Dropbox account, but it's just the standard 2 gigs. Actually, no, I think I got 2.25 because I signed somebody up.
Yeah,
I just use it for small little files here and there. I don't do a lot of heavy cloud storage like some people do. Like, I don't know. I don't really quite trust it yet. I don't know.
You know what actually I was looking into? It was more of a thing to be able to access music and stuff on the fly and away from home. But Windows 7 server, or not 7, home server. Windows 7 home server allows you, if you build a small little box, to anything on that computer, you could access from anywhere in the world as long as you are online.
This is music, you said, or just all files?
Anything. I mean, all you have to do is you could log in straight to your Windows machine,
yeah.
if it's running this operating system, and any files that you have designated to be shared, whether it be music, pictures, video, documents, or whatnot, you can access them. And you don't need like a beefy system or like a hardcore processor and RAM. It literally, like with $200-$300, you could build this thing like from scratch. Even just get an old used one that's, you know, a Pentium 4 or something, and use that to do what you want to do instead of having to pay all the fees and stuff like that.
Well, here's something that I got. I have an old, it's an old pre-netbook. It's an old tiny underpowered laptop that before they sold netbooks, that's what this would fall under. Right now it's running a real small version of Linux, and I've got a subsonic audio server on there, and all I have to do is punch in my IP port, whatever, and I log in. I can set up accounts for anyone else, and it's a streaming media service of any music I have on there. I can add all the different plugins too, so I can actually get AUG, FLAC, AAC, all that to stream, and it'll actually come in high quality depending on bandwidth available on both ends too. But I've got that going. That's only for audio though.
I don't know. I mean, it's good right now. I just think it'll pick up a little bit later on when upload speeds become a little faster, because I can't see myself uploading like 10 gigs worth of music on a cloud just so I could access it anywhere or whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
It would take years. But I don't know. I mean, I would like to see. I mean, Apple's already trying to do this with this Apple TV. It's trying to reinvent the living room with being able to stream your music or stream your videos from wherever. So you could pretty much be in your room and just have wireless speakers right there, or the hub, and just control it from your iPhone that you want to play music, and it'll play it there. You could control the sound volume in your basement, for example, while it's playing upstairs, and so on and so forth. That's like the latest thing they were able to do with their iPhone remote application.
Yeah, that's something I actually really want.
One thing I want to ask is, do you guys see cloud storage more for, you know, so you can access your files anywhere kind of thing? So you can, you know, if I'm out somewhere else, I can, you know, pick up some music on my laptop or netbook? Or do you see it more as a use to, you know, kind of save your files more securely, like, you know, if my computer crashes, at least these are still safe and everything?
I use it more for that. I'll keep my documents on the cloud just automatically backed up, just in case I accidentally delete it or do some dumb shit like that. It's still there for me.
Yeah. I do Google Docs for a lot of things, and then I'll just have like my Dropbox is honestly mainly my lolcats pictures and all that random crap, the stuff that I just want to maybe be able to show to people, grab from anywhere. But I actually do use it for both goofing around and for serious stuff. I do backup separately as well.
See, my Dropbox was started for the sole purpose of sharing pictures of my kids with my family. So I started the Dropbox. I invited all of my family members to the Dropbox, gave them all access. So whenever we take pictures or video of the kids, we'll put them into the Dropbox, and then, you know, all the grandmas and the aunts and whatever, everybody can see them right there. And so we don't have to send out like 20 emails or send them out in multimedia messages or anything. I wouldn't put anything like important in there. I mean, it's nice to have the pictures, but I mean, they're on the camera, they're on the computer, they're on other computers.
Yeah.
But that's what I use mine for.
That's, I see, Adobe Photoshop Lightroom has an export feature where it'll actually export either an HTML-based or Flash-based web page that I'll save in my public Dropbox. And if you link the actual page to people, they can surf through the pictures just like you're talking about. It'll be in a web-based format, not just
I was not aware of this.
Yeah, you should check it out. Actually, it's really good. I was using it to show my dad some of my pictures and stuff. Because a lot of times if the pictures are taken in a certain lighting, the background of the web page can really screw up the way people see the pictures. You know, that's just a color thing, but it's really useful.
But I think that within the next few years, like with 4G or maybe even 5G, probably more like 5G, we'll see cell phones have less and less physical storage inside of them and more cloud-based everything.
That depends on trust.
Well, I mean,
it really does.
You'll be paying, Verizon or AT&T or whoever, you know, a monthly fee for cloud-based service where you could pretty much, if you want to listen to music, it'll stream to you live, straight from your online box.
Yeah, but I understand that, but it depends on trust. Like, my generation, our generation, doesn't really have a problem with that, but then you've got a few people that are slightly older, like even those that are, I'd say 5 years older than myself, that's not really what people trust or are going to trust that I can see.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. It is a lot of the older generation has trust issues with this thing because, let's face it, I mean, the rate at which privacy has been sort of chiseled away at the last decade has been insane. The amount of privacy we have now, you could look up somebody, people look up people's names and Facebooks and whatever for job interviews, you know?
It's not just trust of privacy, it's also trust that data is not going to be lost. That's where I actually see most of the problem being, because I know a lot of people can be like, oh, it's okay, you know, I've got, you know, like my generation, yeah, it's up there, it's mirrored on a thousand servers via RAID or whatever, but then you've got the older people be like, they think it's basically one hard drive with their stuff out there and a bunch of other people's stuff on there, and what if a virus hits that one hard drive and it's all lost forever, you know? That sort of thing is the trust I was talking about.
So the privacy trust doesn't.
It's privacy. Not that much. I don't.
Well, I mean, if you're not putting anything private up there that you wouldn't want to share, like if it's just pictures and music and movies and whatever, I mean, I can understand. I wouldn't.
It's a photography hobby. Anyway. It's not like I'm going to parties and getting hammered and, you know, playing with strippers and coke in Vegas. Maybe I'd be worried about it.
But. To quote Eric Schmidt from Google, if you don't want it on the internet, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, granted, it shouldn't be that the fact that the government wants to go through it shouldn't be an issue. I think that to go through anything like that, they should have warrants. But it's the truth. If you don't want, I'm not okay with people just randomly being able to go through my stuff. But if I put it out there online, I ain't worried about it.
Dude, you don't even have to put it online. You can just have it in your driveway, and they can track it.
Well, yeah.
It's just like they did with that one guy.
Yeah.
With the FBI putting a tracking device on him because he was suspected of having terrorist ties. Even though he wasn't anything close to a terrorist.
It wasn't even suspected of having terrorist ties. His father was Muslim. He was born in America. He was an American-born citizen. His father was a Muslim.
Wasn't it his father knew someone else who had ties? Like it was a friend of a friend of his father or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
I think it's pretty bizarre to put a tracking thing under somebody's car like they do, in those 80s films?
Yeah, did you see the thing, too?
That thing was huge!
I know.
Well, that's months and months of storage and sending out data and receiving data and... If you leave a GPS, like I've got a little Rhino GPS, Garmin Rhino GPS system that has a walkie-talkie. Basically, when you click the walkie-talkie, it will send your coordinates out. The batteries in that thing, if you ping it once a minute, will last maybe 2 days. That's not very useful for long-term tracking.
So that thing was like, you know, a really big battery-operated dildo.
I like how they came up to him and they're like, hey, we want that thing back.
Well,
they're like, what thing? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I would have been like, yeah, what else are they going to do, you know? It's on. That's the funny thing about the government. It belongs to somebody. Somebody signed for that. So that person's going to get their ass chewed if they don't have it next time they do the inventories.
I would have broken that thing down and melted it in a fucking fire pit in my backyard.
I would have sold it on eBay.
Being the nerd I am, I would have taken it apart. See how it worked. Be like, well, I have it. You can have it back, but it's in like 10 pieces now. Sorry.
I couldn't figure to put it back together.
I don't know how.
I would have attached it to a FedEx truck.
I would have attached it to never mind.
Feed it to one of the bears we got out here. That should be fun. We found it in a cave in northern New Jersey.
Hanging out of a bear's ass.
This bear is a terrorist.
It's a bearerist.
Oh, really?
I see what you did there.
Can we censor that?
Clever.
I'm clever.
Bad fun censorship.
Did you guys see the, what was it, the bear smoking the bong in the the Taiwanese news video?
Oh, God.
So ridiculous.
That bear smoking a bong. Get the fire extinguisher.
I love those videos, man.
And the people are, like, sitting there smoking joints on, like, Denny's eating whole chickens. Yes. I was like, since when can you get a whole chicken at Denny's?
Especially with chicken deboners on the market these days.
Don't they come in nugget size?
I need something more manageable, man.
I think that the Taiwanese company that does those videos, by the way, for those who are unsure what the hell we're laughing about, there was an article on Gizmodo a few days ago about Prop 19?
Yes, yeah. 19.
Is that what number we're talking about? Yes. About the legalization of marijuana. And this Taiwanese company that does a lot of these animated films about Western issues created a video, an animated short, showing a very exaggerated version of what the debate and the topic was about, which featured bears smoking bongs and and people doing all this other crazy
shit. Did you guys catch the iPhone 4 one where Steve Jobs force chokes Jason Chen?
Oh, God, I saw that one.
Yeah, that was awesome. he chops off the guy's fingers.
They get a battering ram and batter down his door, and he's wearing a Darth Vader helmet.
I don't know what they are, but I hope they're not like a news outlet because that
they are.
Are they really?
They are. Yeah. Somebody posted the original source to where they found it. And it was an actual Taiwanese news agency website, and it was like an actual guy like reporting it, like in a newsroom, like a clip, and then they segued into the video.
That's awesome.
I hope they're like a TMZ and not a reputable news source in Taiwan. Like, otherwise,
They were in an actual like newsroom, like people typing away, and they had like the suits and the ties, and they were all very serious. And they were talking, and all of a sudden you had like Steve Jobs Vader chopping off Chen's hand, and bears smoking bongs and hippies.
The bear smoking the bong is watching their news channel.
Seriously.
That literally is just cue Captain Picard facepalm right there. Like, just finding out that they're a news organization just makes me facepalm.
I got a white noise picture for this.
Apparently, they know that they've been recognized by the West, and they're not stopping. We should be covering everything.
Just steamroll it through.
I can't wait for Cigar Guy one to come up.
Oh, man. I mean, they're funny. I'll watch them all day, but...
Cigar Man eating chicken goop while smoking a joint in Denny's.
With the bear.
And he's in bed with Tiger Woods' ex-wife, and they're both hiding behind a tree with golf clubs.
And Steve Jobs is there.
And Steve Jobs is there commanding them. And Tiger Woods losing his Weedy endorsement by getting beat over the head with a box.
Tiger Woods?
Woods. Do I get a Woods?
That's how Cigar Guy says it.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I'm Cigar Guy.
I feel sort of bad for Tiger Woods.
I do too.
I don't. I do not feel bad for Tiger Woods at all.
Oh, come
on. How can you feel bad? No, no. I feel bad that he got caught.
No, I just feel bad that his whole life went to shit.
Because he did something.
He didn't ask for it.
Yes, he did.
He asked for a good piece of poon, not for his life to go to shit.
Did you see his wife?
Yes.
Did you see the smoking hot thing that he was, and did you see the nasty whores that he was cheating with?
Well,
Come on!
He didn't want filet mignon every day. He wanted to have some chicken nugget goop once in a while.
And that's what he got.
I mean, I expect that he might have wanted his marriage to fall apart, which is why he was doing this, but it shouldn't affect his professional life.
And he's gone way downhill on the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was actually yesterday that he was no longer the number one golfer in the world. Some other, 20-year-old or something beat him out to it.
Arnold Palmer is the only golfer I ever trust.
Because he has a tasty drink named after him.
Exactly.
That is true.
All right, so should we get back to tech news, or are we talking about Tiger Woods now?
Actually, I just got a memo that Windows Phone 7 launch event is tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'll be asleep.
That gave me a little chub.
Yes. Yeah. So tomorrow it's getting launched. Is that getting launched like actual in stores? I don't think so. I think it's just they're going to be seeing the launch dates and what device is going to be.
Oh. I think that's more of a, hey, we have a phone out there for all you people that don't keep up with shit like this.
Well, both Steve Ballmer from Microsoft and Ralph De La Vega, which is AT&T CEO, they both will be at the event on stage.
Oh, no.
Now, when you say you got a memo, entertaining. Did you get a memo or just refresh Engadget?
That's what it was.
Gizmodo.
I refresh Gizmodo, mind you.
Blasphemer.
It's just the fact that I get to see the Gizmodo articles get before they're even posted.
Wow.
Ooh,
before they're
fancy.
Cool, you freaking hipster.
I'm not the one that drinks PBR.
Yeah, Gonzo.
Fuck you guys, I'm doing him.
Fuck you and your fixie.
If only I had a fixie bike, my life would be complete.
You could find him on eBay for a ridiculously overpriced price tag.
I'm too poor for that.
I found my fixie on Craigslist.
I'm a real hipster, I don't have any money. I can't buy trendy things.
I thought hipsters had money.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows anymore.
All I know is that they say that they work in media.
Well, I do work in media.
There we go.
So, I don't know. I might be on the right track.
So does that mean you were a hipster before it was cool?
Before it became ironic?
I think so.
Gonzo, we'll train you to be full hipster.
Okay. I might need a makeover. I might need some more skinny jeans.
White Noise Makeover Edition.
You're not going to be able to wear flannel anymore.
We started a podcast, but we're just expanding. We need a network.
Windows 7 phone should be interesting. I don't even know if we need Windows 7 phone. Windows Phone 7. Is the market becoming too oversaturated with operating systems?
I don't think so. I think it'd be fun to see what it does. Honestly, I like that RIM is kind of falling by the wayside in terms of hipness. They're still being purchased by the buttloads in terms of business because people have been using it for so long. There's most large businesses aren't going to switch over, and they do work better with larger corporations. But I think
and they Windows can secure it and control it a lot better than Apple or whatever. Yeah.
I think Windows Phone 7 is going to appeal to people who don't want to be the Apple hipster, who just don't like Apple in general, because, they don't own Apple products and they've tried iTunes and it really pisses them off in Windows. And there are people who think Android is still like Linux, untouchable and nasty, even though neither one is untouchable or nasty, you can work just fine on either one of them. I think Windows Phone 7 may have a niche market in there, and along with people who actually try it and realize that it's functional.
Yeah, well, half of it is them trying to, get rid of their old name of, pretty much the known word was Windows Mobile was terrible.
Oh God, that was so shitty.
It wasn't that bad. It was just it wasn't managed right.
Yeah, I'm not saying I use Windows Mobile. I didn't mind it, but you know, it has that public opinion of the public has the opinion that it's just it was a subpar compared to the Android or iOS platforms. So with Windows Phone 7, they got to build that back up.
They seem to be on the right track.
Yeah, it looks nice. It looks great. I can't say I'd switch to it. I'm kind of looking for an Android phone to market or at the moment. But
it's also not the wisest thing to do is to be an early adopter because you're going to be forced to deal with all the lack of things that it has, which probably Windows Phone 7.1, I'm guessing.
Well, honestly, the only thing I use my BlackBerry now for is I use Twitter, I use a little bit of Facebook, Pandora, and occasional Google searching. If I can do that without any problem on a Windows Phone 7, I may just be an early adopter, just because I know they're going to need them to continue, and my one little voice might help.
Well, it definitely will, and a lot of people are gonna jump right on it right away. That's for sure.
I just don't like the feeling of being an unpaid beta tester.
I know. I'm kind of scared about that too. But.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, if anything, they're not going to just create this brand new phone, brand new platform, and then abandon it. It can only get better with software updates.
They've never done that with a phone before.
Like the kid has 6 months.
But yeah, in your case, Kevlar, you wouldn't actually be giving up anything since, like you said, you don't use your phone for that much. You only have room to grow. Like if an iPhone user, let's just say,
you're blossoming flower.
Yeah, if they switched over, they'd have to be giving up a lot of their apps and all that stuff. So it might be a tougher transition if you're already in the smartphone market. But if you're looking to get into it for the first time, I could see Windows 7 being a really good option, especially with a lot of the Xbox Live integration and stuff like that could really appeal to, if you're a gamer.
I'm not really a gamer, but I do see that the Xbox Live thing tying in. If they start tying achievements and gamer scores into little pocket games that you can play.
They've already
talked about doing that.
They need to if they want to sell it. If they want to sell it big.
Well, Windows Phone 7 was actually the reason that I only got a one-year contract on my Android because I knew that I wanted to get a Windows Phone 7, but I didn't want to be like the early adopter guy just because I know that there's always going to be problems in the beginning, especially with something like this. They do have experience in the past with a mobile platform, but since they completely scrapped all of that and they're going with something completely new and the new user interface and the integration with all of their other services, there's going to be hiccups, there's going to be problems, and I just didn't want to deal with it. So I figure in a year when my Android contract runs out with Verizon, then maybe they'll have all the kinks worked out and I can jump over to Windows Mobile.
I think one thing they need to be very careful about is keeping the hardware somewhat regulated, if you will, because that's what the biggest problem with the old Windows Mobile was. You had great hardware, and then you had crap hardware, and none of it played 100% right with it. That's why the iPhone works fairly well.
That's what Windows though is making set ground rules for their phones for anybody who wants to develop and create a phone with Windows Phone 7. They said that your phone has to have the following bare minimum features, and the features, and which right now the features that they're asking for are pretty mid to high range.
Well, they should be. They shouldn't be able to start it out on something like the Kin. If it would work on the Kin hardware, then it wouldn't be worth it.
There was actually one thing. What was it? The HD2. It was a Windows Mobile phone, and everyone was really angry that when Windows Phone 7 was announced, that you wouldn't be able to upgrade it. And Microsoft's only reason for not providing an upgrade for it was because it didn't have the correct back button. One button gave an entire set of users the inability to upgrade. So they're definitely being strict on that.
But the things that are coming out right now, I mean, even if you look at the phones that are coming out with Windows Phone 7, most of them blow the HD2 out of the water.
Yeah. Well, it's still a pretty up to date phone, like as far as specs go.
Well, you know what? It'll probably be an only a short amount of time before, you know, the hacking community gets it working on the HD2.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there's the HD7 that was sort of leaked today for T-Mobile. Looks beast.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. I think that we should be getting this to a slow close. We're running a little bit short on time, but I think we had a very productive and very good episode one.
Woo!
Hurrah!
Now we're all going to go get blasted on Tiny Chat.
Yeah.
After party.
Yes. everybody's invited, but you guys won't get the invitation.
As long as you can figure it out.
You guys won't get the invitation until like 3 days from now.
Yeah. But we'll still be there.
Yes. Yeah, we probably won't leave.
But no, right. thank you all you guys for coming here on such short notice and participating.
It was a blast.
Yeah, fun. We had a good time.
So just to reiterate, we had Bazooka Fox on here.
What's up?
We had Kevlar Menace.
Addy.
We had Vito.
Tell your friends.
Penguin.
It's been a pleasure.
Gonzo Ryder.
It's been great, guys.
And me, Stephen Callis. Hopefully, those are all our names on Gizmodo as well. So if you see us trolling around, say hello.
They see me trolling.
They hating.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for coming. And till next time. Till next time.
Adios.
Later.
Penis.
I knew it was coming. That was awesome.
So you knew the penis was coming?
Oh, always. You can feel it 10 times.
Okay, I'm leaving.
White noise.